So, gentlemen, yesterday we began the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees with Ula. Whereas Ula says, in the case of Malkus and Momon, you pay the Momon and you don't get Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. That in the case of Momon and Malkus, we give Malkus and we don't pay the Momon. And intuitively, we identify with Rabbi Yochanan because the more severe the two punishments, Lechora, should be Malkus. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can reconcile the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Malkus. Our Mishnah says that in the case of Baal Achoso, he pays Knas, and there's no Malkus. The Mishnah in Malkus says Baal Achoso gets Malkus, and he doesn't pay Knas. So Rabbi Yochanan says there's no problem. It all depends on whether there's Hasra or not. In a case where there was Hasra, that's the Mishnah in Malkus, then he gets Malkus. And if he gets Malkus, there's no Tashlumei Momon. But if in our Mishnah there was no Hasra, therefore there's no Malkus. And if there's no Malkus, there's Momon. But the general principle of Rabbi Yochanan is that when there's an overlap between Momon and Malkus, then as long as there was Hasra, he'll get the Malkus, and he doesn't pay. And now the Gemara asks, from whence does Rabbi Yochanan derive this conclusion? So this is where we want to begin here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we're looking at Minole LeRabbi Yochanan Ha. So you'll see this. Let's see if we count down from the top of the page, we'll count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down from the top of page, Lamed Beis, Amud Beis.
Excuse me, the word Ha means Zeh?
Zeh.
Okay, thank you.
Zeh means, Ha means Zeh. So what led Rabbi Yochanan to draw this conclusion? Now, the underlying premise of this question seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan should have accepted Ula. And that's very odd, because Ula was based on Gzeiras Shavah. And the rule of thumb with regard to Gzeiras Shavah is that you have to have a tradition, you have to have received Gzeiras Shavah in the Masorah from your Rebbe. So, Mimonashach, if Rabbi Yochanan had the Masorah, then he should have actually accepted Gzeiras Shavah and hence come to Ula's conclusion. If, on the other hand, he didn't have the Gzeiras Shavah, so why is the Gemara asking Minole? I mean, he doesn't need any sort of a source in the absence of the Gzeiras Shavah. So I have here a footnote, and he says the following. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph asked the question, Minole Le'ula. How does Ula know that you pay and you don't get Malkus? Which means that the Gemara was assuming that logically he should get Malkus, which is the more severe of the two punishments. And it's only because Ula came up with a tradition, a Gzeiras Shavah, that he switched around the intuitive law and he pays Momon instead of getting Malkus. Now the Gemara is saying, well, where did Rabbi Yochanan derive his conclusion from? There seems to be a stira, because the underlying premise when the Gemara attacked Ula and said, Ula, where are you coming from, is that logically it should have been Malkus and not Momon. And now the Gemara is asking, almost attacking Rabbi Yochanan, from whence did you derive your conclusion that you give Malkus and you don't pay Momon? So there's a little bit of a stira between the two premises, the premise of the Gemara Liel and the premise of the Gemara here.
If you come up with a Gezerah Shabbat, you have a tradition for, I don't have that tradition, so maybe I don't have to accept it, but don't I at least have to come up with a counterproof?
Not necessarily. If there is a svara, then you don't need a counterproof. Meaning, anytime you see in the Gemara Minolan or Minole, the underlying assumption is that your absent is a svara. If there was a svara, again, when we say svara, you know, again, this is a long discussion, but the word svara does not mean logic. You know, usually if you look in the translation of the word svara, they'll say it's logical, but that's not really what svara means. Svara means that according to the rules and regulations of the halacha, this is the conclusion we should come to within the halakhic universe, within the system. It's not a human logic that we're talking about. We're talking about a Torah logic. The Torah logic seems to be in favor of Rabbi Yochanan. And I'll prove it to you. Why does the Gemara attack Ula and say Minola? How did Ula come up with a mama that replaces Malkus? It must be that the Gemara intuitively understood Alpi Svarig, and not Svarig in the sense of logic, but in the framework of Halacha, that Malkus should be the punishment meted out. Why then is the Gemara now jumping on Rabbi Yochanan and saying, Rabbi Yochanan, where do you know your din from? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan didn't have the tradition of the Gzeirah Shavah. So let's go back to the Svarig. So he says the following. The underlying premise of the Gemara Liel, when the Gemara asked Ula for a source, was that according to Svara again means the Torah regulations, he should get Malkus, which is the more severe punishment, and that alleviates you of Tashlumim. But Liachar Sha'omra, HaGemara Sha'ula Lom, it's also being said, Sha'om Tachas Tachas. What the Gemara is really asking now is why didn't Rabbi Yochanan accept this Gzeirah Shavah? So lechor again, you'll say our Gzeirah Shavah zu lo niskabla. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan never accepted it. He never had the Kabbalah. He never had the tradition of this Gzeirah Shavah. He says yefshel lomar kein. We can't say such a thing. Why? He says that there's a sugya in Bechoros on Daf Yud Beis. And the Gemara there establishes that everybody has the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas. So the Gemara is looking for some sort of limud, some sort of yalfusa, to protect Rabbi Yochanan from the Gzeirah Shavah, as if to say, we're going to juggle the Gzeirah Shavah and some sort of other limud, and we're going to come up with some rule that does justice to both the Gzeirah Shavah and Rabbi Yochanan. So we, at the end of the day, what the Gemara is looking for is sort of a balance between two different Yalfusas. One is the Gzeirah Shavah, and the other is the Yalfus of Kedei Rishasa, which we're about to learn now.
The other thing is, the proof brought for Rabbi Yochanan, one of the things that...
How you feeling, Moshe? Well, then?
Yeah. One of the things it proves is that there's only one punishment.
Everybody assumes there's only one punishment. The question is, which punishment is it? So Alpi Svara, according to what we saw now, he's basing himself on a Tosa Rosh, Alpi Svara, the punishment that we should mete out is Malkus. Therefore, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph attacks Ula and says, why do you alleviate him of Malkus and instead you go for the Mamma? Here the Gemara says, now that we've concluded that Ula had Gzeirah Shavah, and now we have to add a footnote, and the Gemara B'choros assumes that everybody accepted that tradition of the Gzeirah Shavah. What limud, what yalfusa did you have from Yochanan to take us back to the original Svara and neutralize or override the Gzeirah Shavah?
No, but Kimle B'derabba Mine is simply like an axiom everyone accepts?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember if we learned a source for that or not.
Yes, we did. We had the parasha of Ki Yinotsu Shnei Anoshim Yaakov, and what happens is the Torah says that if he hits this pregnant woman and she loses the vlados, then we wait to see what's going to happen with this woman. Is she going to survive or never shall die? If she survives, lo yason, then ano shionish, then he has to pay damages for the tmei vlados. But if yason, that's the implication, that if she dies, then he doesn't pay damages. That's Kimle B'derabba. So we see that if she dies and there's a Chiyuv Misa here because he killed her, that Chiyuv Misa somehow overshadows the Chiyuv Mamma and neutralizes it. And here, in the case of Malkus, we're assuming that the Chiyuv of Malkus would now overshadow, so to speak, the Chiyuv of Mamma. And that's indeed the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. But Gemara has a problem here because of the Gzeirah Shavah of Ula. So let's see what Yalfusa we can come up with here to give a base, a foundation for Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Kro. Now the Gemara quotes only two words out of this entire long pasuk. I'm going to quote the entire pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzé. It says the following: V'haya im bin hakos harasha. v'hi piloa shofet v'hi kol lefonov kiderish also b'mispar. Now, what we have to emphasize here is we're talking about Bezdin, and we're specifically referring to the Shofet as the representative of Bezdin, who is hitting the Rasha. What does it mean by hitting the Rasha? He's striking the Rasha. He's divvying out Malkus. Why? Because this Rasha was found guilty with Ha'edim and Asra of one of the various lavim in the Torah, and as a result, v'pilo ha-shofet v'kol lefanov. But then, the Torah adds the word kidei rishaso. Now, the word rishaso, with the extra vav at the end, is called b'loshon yachid, as if to say the Torah is singling out one rishus when there was more than one, and saying he called the fun of because of his singular rishus and not because of his plural rishus. In other words, he was guilty of two rishuyot. Rishuyot is the plural of rishus. But we're only going to give him a punishment kidei rishaso in Lashon Yachid for one of those of those crimes and not for both. So he's guilty of two crimes. He should be punished for both, but the Torah deliberately singles out B'Lashon Yachid one of those two punishments.
This is what I meant when I said we're going to prove that there's only one punishment, not two.
Correct, but the extra smichus is what we're, you know, we're still sort of halfway through.
That's not the main part.
Right, the main part is going to be the smichus, which is coming around the bend. So now Kidei Rishaso means the following. In other words, even though with one action he violated two different averos, and therefore he's worthy of two different punishments for these two averos respectively, nevertheless the Torah says mishum risha achas atom achayv, you can only punish him for one of the two rishoyos. That itself is not such a big chiddush, but for samechle, right after it says kidei rishaso, the very next pasuk says arboyim yakenu. So in other words, he violated two crimes, he deserves two punishments, but the Torah singles out arboyim yakenu, and this is now going to counter the yalfusa, the gzereshov of ul, the gzereshov of tachas led us to the conclusion that you pay mamon. And the paradigm case of that was ta'ayin tachasayin in the parish of Chovel b'chavero. So even though Chovel b'chavero deserves malchus, the Torah says no, make him pay. Then we have the parish of Knas, where the Torah says that even though he violated an avero, let's say it was Baal HaChos, so nevertheless he pays the Knas. And there too it says tachas, and that was the tachas asher ina, which led us to the Zereshova. Now Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I'm going to limit that Gzeres Shava and apply it only where the Torah actually applies it. I'm going to take the tachas of Chovel, and the rule that I derive from that tachas is that you pay instead of getting malchus, and I'm going to apply that in the other tachas of tachas Sharina in the parish of Knas. But as far as the universal rule, in other cases which are beyond the pale of this Gzeres Shava, I'm going to apply a different Yalfusa, and that's going to be Smichus HaParashios. What does it mean, Smichus HaParashios? In the context of Kidei Rishaso, which means that you only get punished for one Rishus, even though you're worthy of two punishments, the Torah says, Arboim Yakenu. Here's where Rabbi Yochanan steps up to the plate. And he says, Arboim Yakenu means that even though he should be paying for damages, because that was also a criminal act on his part to damage someone and cause him a loss of property, nevertheless we're gonna only apply the arboim yakenu. We're gonna give him the malchus, and we're gonna alleviate him of paying mamon. We're not gonna be able to be mechayev him for both of them, because we have to give him one punishment and not the other, that the Torah clearly states. But the Torah goes ahead and says, "Arboim yakenu," to single out which of the two punishments he will be suffering. And the answer is, Rav Moshe Kahane teaches me that he's Chayiv Malkus and he's not Chayiv Mum. So that now we have a smichus. Now you could always argue that, well, maybe Rav Yochanan should have accepted Ula based on the Gzeirah Shavah, but apparently Rav Yochanan feels that the smichus aparshios has a superior status to that of Gzeirah Shavah. What it means is that we cannot ignore the smichus, and if we pay due attention and significance to the smichus, then we're going to whittle down the application of the Gzeirah Shavah and apply only exactly where it was written, wherever the word tachas appears, namely in the parasha of Ones. But if not for the word tachas in Ones, we would go back to our parasha of Kedei Rishoso and we would apply the rule of smichus aparshios arboim yakenu. But now we have to ask the following question. Barei chovel b'chavero de'ika mamon u'malkus mamon u'shalim milka lo laki. In the case of someone who assaults his friend and he deserves to be punished with malkus because he violates the law of lo yosef, the Torah teaches us that he pays like the five categories of payment for a chovel, and he doesn't get malkus. So that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to have to find some sort of reconciliation between chovel, where the rule is mamon and not malkus, and Rabbi Yochanan's universal principle, malkus and not mamon. Why is chovel the exception to the rule? Now, this Gemara is kind of naive. What do I mean by naive? I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. What I mean, it's naive in that the Gemara has not yet come around to what we assumed all along, that the Torah explicitly tells you in the case of Chovel that you have to pay five categories of damages. Meaning that Chovel is the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And that's ultimately what the Gemara is going to say here. But at this point, the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan has to come to terms with the law of Chovel. Why should Chovel get away with Malkus when the Torah says Arboim Yakenu? The Arboim Yakenu is a solid, absolute rule that you must get Malkus because he violated the law. In the case of Chovel, he violates the law of Lo Yosef. He has to get Malkus. How could it be otherwise? Now the Gemara tries its hand at a technical answer. Maybe the only situation in which you pay mamon in Chovel despite your violation of the Bal Yosef is when there was no Asra. The Gemara says, "V'kitema perhaps Hani Mili." The only situation in which a Chovel pays mamon and he doesn't get Malkus is Hechad de Lo Asru Be, which means that Bezdin is not going to be able to implement the Chiyuv Malkus because there was no Asra. So we have a technical blockage here, and that's why we go back to mamon. Which is very interesting. The Gemara is saying the following now in this Vechitema, that when you have a double chiv, an overlap of Mamon and Malkus, then Rabbi Yochanan's sheet is that you give Malkus whenever it's possible to give Malkus, and that replaces the Tashlumei Mamon. But in a situation, but the Tashlumei Mamon, the chiv Mamon is still lurking in the shadows. You know, it's like the bull in the bullfight. It's in the pen. You know, they're waiting for it to open up the door, the floodgates. And now, if there's no Hasra, and Bezdin's hands are tied, there's no way they can implement Malkus, then we're gonna allow the Chiyuv Mamon to enter frontal stage, and he'll have to pay. So when we talk about Chovel and five categories of Tashlumin, it's only in this Vechitema when there was no Hasra. Since there was no Hasra, Bezdin is not implementing the punishment of Malkus. And Mevela, they have to implement the punishment of Tashlume Chavola, paying the mamon. Abal Hecha de Isruve, Babel Isruve, if there would have been a Hasra, then Milka Loki, we go back to our rule, this is Rabbi Yochanan's rule, that you get Malkus and Mamon Alo Mashalim. Gemara says that's impossible. We're going to disprove that theory from a statement that's attributed to Rabbi Yochanan himself. Va'omar Rav Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Imagine the following scenario. We said that in Chovel there are five categories of Tashlumin, right? Nezik, Tzarit, Rishevus, and Boshes. when we add up all these five, it still doesn't add up to a pruta. And I'll read to you the language of Rashi here as a summary. I'm not going to read Rashi inside right this second, but he says, "Ein b'chol chamisha dvarim shebo dani nezik tzarif b'shem zavoshes shava pruta." So you take out your calculator and you put 0.02 for nezik and 0.01 for tzahar and it doesn't even equal to one pruta after you add it all together. Now it could be, for example, he was a laid-off guy, so he didn't have a job, so he didn't lose any employment, or possibly the nezek was not great enough so that it really lowered his value on the slave market. Maybe he didn't have to go to a doctor, or he had some pat cholim, I don't know what. And he didn't suffer any serious pain or whatever. So you're talking about a case where you can go through all the five tashlumi moment and you still will not calculate a pruta's worth. So in this case, says Rav Ami in the name of Rav Yochanan, Loke, he gets Malkus. Now at this point, I would have thought that's great news. Why? Because Rav Yochanan's principle is that in a choice between Momen and Malkus, you should get Malkus. And in this case, there's no Shavah Pruta. But the Gemara is going to analyze this and say, well, the reason why he gets Malkus is only because there's no Shavah Pruta. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, you just maintain that if there would have been a Hasra, then you should get Malkus, even if it would be more than a Shavah Pruta. Because Malkus always, when there is Malkus, meaning there was Hasra, it overrides Mom. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan is saying now. Rabbi Yochanan is saying now that the reason why he doesn't pay Mon and he gets Malkus is because the Nezek was less than a Shavah Pruta, implying that had it been a Shavah Pruta, he would pay Mon. And that undermines the whole sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, unless we can prove that Chovel is a different story, that Chovel fits into an exceptional category, a box of its own. So Gemara now analyzes this statement of Rav Ami in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hechidok, what's the case? Idol al Asribe, if there was no Asra, is on my loka. How is it possible that he gets Malkus? There's no such thing as Malkus without Asra, except in the case of Edom Zon, that we discussed yesterday. Elof Shito, we must assume the Asribe was Asra. And why do we say now that he gets Malkus? The answer is because time with the less Beis Shavah Pruta, because this Hakah, when he hit his friend, didn't calculate up to a Pruta, ha, implying, is Beis Shavah Pruta, Mamona Mishalim Milka Lolaki. I proved to you that even Rabbi Yochanan holds that even in a case where there was Asra, he's going to pay Mamon in Chovel, and he's not going to get Malkus. That contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's basic shita, that as a universal rule, we derive from the Smichus HaParashios, that when there's Mamon and Malkus, our boy Miakenu. And the more answers, Enochinami, Chovel is an exception to the rule. Kida Omar Ravi Loi, Ravi Lo, Beferish Ripsatoria, Zolmo Tashlum, and Achinami Beferish Ripsatora, Chavola, Bechavero, and Tashlum. Now, these words, Beferish Ripsatora, really mean that we have an exception to the rule. The Torah had to go out of its way to teach me in two cases, two violations, that you pay and you don't get Malkus. What are these two cases where you violated an Issur Torah and you're not going to get Malkus, but instead you're going to pay? The first of these two cases is Edom Zomim. The Torah says in the parasha of Edom Zomim, we'll see this later on, V'asisan lo kasha zomim lasos li achiv, and the Gemara is going to have a kind of a smichus aparashios to prove that V'asisan lo kasha zomim is referring to Mamon, that he has to pay for what the Nidon would have lost based on the perjury of the first pair of Eidim Nidon Zomim. And that's called Beferish Rutsa Torah Eidim Zomim L'Tashlumim. So the Torah says that in Eidim Zomim, instead of giving them Malkus for violating the law of Losan of Reachet Shaker, we make them pay Mamon. So too, in the case of Chovel, Beferish Rutsa Torah Tashlumin in the case of Kovil. Now, where is that Beferish? That's what the Gemara is going to pick up a little bit later on. And that's going to be derived from a Yalfusa, from a special pasuk in Kovil. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can summarize the following. There are two cases where Rabbi Yochanan is on board with Ula because of Beferish Rubes and Torah. That's Eidim Zobim and Kovil Bechaver. In these two cases, Ula is right, and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't doubt it for a second. He pays and he doesn't get malchus. But as a universal rule, elsewhere in all of Averos, when in one action he incurs both a chiv malchus, because there was a hasra, and a chiv tashlumin malchus, there was an overlap of two Averos and one maisa, then he gets malchus and he doesn't pay malchus, which is the exact opposite of Ula. The Gemara says, Vehecha itmar deravila. In other words, in what context did we find this statement of Rav Hila? Aha. On the Mishnah Masechta Makis. The Mishnah Masechta Makis records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. And what was the case? Two Edom come in and they testify the following. Me'idim onus ish plori. We testify against a certain individual. Shechayv l'chaver masayim zuz. That he owes 200 zuz, which is a very significant sum of money, by the way, to his friend. The nimtzu zod. Another two aiden come in and they say, Manu Aisim, you couldn't have possibly seen him borrow this money because you were with us in Chicago. You couldn't have been in New York at that time, right? So, Lokin u'meshalmin, this is the shita of Rabbi Meir, that the aiden in this case will get malchus. And at the same time, they will have to pay. In other words, Rabbi Meir is going to take, in this case, two psukim and apply them both simultaneously. So if anyone ever asks you in the middle of the night as a quiz question, in where can I find an exception to the rule of Kimlei and Rabbi Meir, you will tell him, Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah, at the beginning of Masechta Makis, in the case of Edom Zomimim, who testified against someone that he owes money, and then they became Zomimim, they're going to get a double punishment. There's no Kimlech the Rabbi here. They're going to, number one, get Malkus for violating the law of Losan Rechid Shokar. At the same time, they will pay 200 zuz to the Ish Ploni, to the Nidon, that they tried and they schemed to cause him a loss.
Rabbi Meir holds this to be an exception to Kimlei
Rabbi Meir. And why? Now Rabbi Meir is going to explain himself. He says, Shelo Hashem ha-mevion lidei makos, mevion lidei tashlumin. That's the way Rabbi Meir. Now, this line of Rabbi Meir is not so simple. Just on a syntax level, in terms of translating the words, it's complicated. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read Rashi with you because I think Rashi helps give us an insight into what Rabbi Meir has in mind here. And this you'll count down from the top of the page in Rashi about seven lines. Do you see where it says Shelo Hashem Mevion Lidei Makos? Rashi says the following: Hamikra Hamevion Lidei Malkus Eino Mevion LeTashlum. Malkus vilo sane tashlumi mikasher zoma. The kaven de shnei shemos heim chayav al shnei. Now there are two parts to this Rashi. It's like a Rashi and a Sefer. And in my humble opinion, because I'm trying to defend Rashi against Tosus here, I think there's a very intricate relationship between the Rashi and the Sefer. Tosus puts all the emphasis here on Rashi's Rashi, and he's not willing to accept this Rashi. Rashi says the following, that there are two different mikros, two different verses in the Torah. One for Malkus, one for Tashlum. For Malkus it says Lo Sana, and whenever the Torah says Lo, and you violate that Lo, you get Malkus. And Tashlum is based on Kasher Zoma. So at this point in our presentation, Rashi is simply saying that Rabbi Meir holds that whenever you have two different mikros, then you would give both punishments, meaning he would get Malkus and at the same time he would pay Mom. Now Tosus here is going to quote a Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia, And the conclusion there is that Rabbi Meir is not based on two different mikraos. And even in a case where you would find a chi of mammon and a chi of malchus in one pasuk, Rabbi Meir would still assume that loke u'mishalin. So you cannot attribute Rabbi Meir's principle here of loke u'mishalin to the fact that there are two psukim, one for malchus and another one for mammon, because the Gemara in Bamitzia, which is a sugi again we're not learning, but if we were, we would come to the following conclusion. Tosfos says that even if you have both malchus and mammon in the same pasuk, nevertheless, Rabbi Meir would still insist that you get lokim mishalim. And therefore, we have to find a different explanation of lo min hashem. So what I would like to suggest is, let's read the Sefer of Rashi. And this I think, would shed a whole new light on Rashi, and it could reconcile our sugya of Rabbi Meir, the way Rashi interprets it, with the sugya of Rabbi Meir in Bava Metzia. Rashi says, Kema d'shnei shemosheim, Chayav al Shneim. Rashi is saying the following, that Rabbi Meir's opinion that you give both the punishment of Malchus and Mammon at the same time is based on a concept called Shnei Shemos. Now what Shnei Shemos means, and again Rashi is going to prove that the Shnei Shemos is based on the fact that there's two psukim. We'll get back to the ratio of Rashi in a second, but the Shnei Shemos is basically the sheet of Rabbi Meir. In other words, if you're asking for the logic of Rabbi Meir, the principle, the halachic principle of Meir, it's written in this concept called Shnei Shemos. You may have to prove that it's Shnei Shemos, because Shnei Shemos is a conceptual idea, and you never know exactly whether it is Shnei Shemos or it's one Shem. And in order to judge that, your barometer is going to have to be two psukim. That's what Rashi says in this case of Edom Zom. So let's try to understand what Rashi means by Shnei Shemos. The Edom actually violated only one Avera when you think about it. All they did was they perjured themselves. Was there any other Avera that they violated?
No.
There was no other Avera. So
it's an Avera on its own.
But I'm saying, normally when we talk about Kimlei Ramine, in a local Mishal, it means, he's carrying something from Rishus or Rav to Rishus or Yochid, and at the same time he ripped someone's Shiva.
But it is.
Right, but it's two different averes. Do you see what I'm saying? There was a violation of Shabbos and there was a violation of Mazik. Here, there's only one violation. He perjured himself. Now, included in the perjury was Mammon, right? So that's also a thing. But as far as the aver is concerned, Rashi is bothered over here. Rashi is saying that Lechora, it's all one avera. The whole application of Kimlev the Rabine, that we give you one punishment and not two, is completely irrelevant over here. It's inapplicable. What do I mean? If the Torah says that for one Avera you get two punishments, then we have to give out two punishments. It could be that one Avera is so severe that the Torah wants to hit you with two punishments. That's not Kimlev the Rabine. Kimlev the Rabine is when you have an overlap of two violations, each one respectively generating its own punishment. And now the question is, should we meet out both punishments, each one for each Avera? But if the Torah says that for one Avera you get two punishments, that has nothing to do with Kimlev the Rabine. Again, if you didn't follow me, it's okay. I can spend an hour on this. But the point that I want to make is that Rashi's working overtime here to explain Rabbi Meir. And he's telling you that Rabbi Meir holds this is Shnei Shemos. He's not getting two punishments for the same violation of perjury. He's getting one punishment for violating the Easter of perjury. And which punishment is that? Malchus. There's another punishment, but that has nothing to do with the violation of Losana Reached Shaka. That has to do with the fact that he took 200 zuz out of Reuven's pocket and gave it to Shimon. And Reuven now has suffered a loss of 200 zuz. Now again, you'll argue, but he never really lost that money, because at the end of the day, another 280 came in to be mazin him. But the Torah considers it, kasher zon is considered like kasher osa. And basically what happens here is just like in the case of Shabbos, where he sends out a chetz and he violates the Shabbos through Malechus Hotzah from one Rishus to the other, at the same time he's mafsin someone momo, because Karash Yirayim Shal Kaveiro. Here we have an overlap of two different averos. One is an avero, let's call it Beinonim L'Makom, if you will, and the other is Beinonim L'Chavero. Beinonim L'Makom means the Torah wants honesty and not perjury. Lo sana reyachei shoket, and for that you deserve malchus. On the other hand, there's a Beinonim L'Chavero here, because he testified against Reuven, and Reuven's going to have to pay 200 zuz to Shimon, and that was a falsification of the truth. So we're not making him pay the 200 zuz because he falsified the truth. We're making him pay 200 zuz because he caused the loss to Reuven. You know, on a psychological level, you could say that Reuven had to stand up in front of a Beis Din. He's denying that he owes money, and he's humiliated by the fact that the plaintiff invokes the testimony of two witnesses to support his claim, and he's there looking like his pants are down. You know, he's too able to testify that he owes 200 zuz, a massive amount of money. You know, that's a psychological suffering that the Torah says vasisin lo kasher zoma. So that's what Rashi means, that there are two mikros over here. Not that Rashi thinks that we always have to find two mikros. That's not what Rav Meir is saying. What Rav Meir is saying here is that in this particular case, I have to find two mikros. Why? Because I have to establish that this is an overlap of two different shemos. It's not one shame. The Torah is not saying that you pay 200 zuz because you violated lo sana b'yachem et shokar. You know, sometimes the Torah says that if you violate a law, then you have to pay money to redeem yourself and to atone for your sin. You know, there are payments which are atonement for sin. That's not what's going on over here. You could have argued that it's an atonement for a sin, but Rashi says no, it can't be, because it's based on an entirely different pasuk. The mikra is vasisa lo kasher zomam lasas li'achiv. In other words, what did he try to mete out and cause a loss to achiv, to his friend? That's what you have to replace. That's what you're paying for. That's already a separate shame. And Rashi couldn't have proven this if not for the fact that there's a separate pasuk of lo sana b'yachiv, above and beyond lo sana b'yachiv shokar, of vasisa lo kasher zomam lasas li'achiv. That proves that it's two shameless. And here, Rabbi Meir takes the position that when you have an overlap of two shemos, then this reminds me, I don't know if you remember the sugya called Mamon Lezev and Tashluvin Lezev, you know, that there's one shita that says you don't apply Kimle and Rabbi name if there's someone else is involved over here. You remember, there were Aiden, maybe you remember the case where there were Aiden who testified on a woman that she had snus. And at the same time, as a result of the testimony, the father has to pay, he has to lose his ksuba. You remember this? And we had a long discussion about this. I'm not going into it right now. So that, according to one man, in such a case, you don't apply kibble and rabine, because it's mama lezeh, misa lezeh. You know, you cause the father a loss. Right. And they're two separate cases. So Rav Meir took this even a step further, and he says this is also like two separate chiyuvim. One is a chiyuv for the achiv, because he ki'ilu caused them a loss of 200 zuz. That's called vasisim lo kasher zomam lasas li'achiv. And then on a beinonim l'makom level, he violated lav in the Torah lo sana b'yachid shakar, and he deserves malchus. So Rabbi Meir is willing to separate these two as two shemos. That's how Rashi calls it, to such an extent that I'm not going to apply kinyan to Rabbi then. It's mama lezev and misa lezev. We're not talking about misa, we're talking about malchus. The chachamim over, the chachamim say no. We have an absolute rule that knows no, tolerates no exception, called a shalmei aloka, that you can't mete out two punishments. So the Gemara says that in this context, Rav Ilad made his comment that b'feirush rivsa Torah eim zomu l'tashlumen. Now, why did the Chacham say call him shalmei aloka? Why didn't they say the opposite? They call aloka eim shalmei. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is the exact rule that applies universally. Kol aloka eino mishalim. And here the Chacham say just the opposite. Kol mishalim eino aloka. And the answer is, says Rav Ilah, there must be a beferish ribs of Torah eino zomim l'tashlumin. And where is the Beferish of Yusos? The Gemara says, V'neimah ka'olokei v'shalim amrev Allah, Beferish of Satori v'zomel tashlumin, Heichon Ritz and Torah, Michtik, Sivi, Asisa lokash v'zomel lasos li achiv. Now this is in Dvarim, Perkites, Posukites. The very next Posuk says, V'lo sachos eincha einecha. Notes don't have any sort of compassion on this criminal, these Aden Zonim, but rather Nefesh ben Nefesh, Ayin be Ayin, Shame be Shame, Yad be Yad, Regel be Regel. So there's going to be a drush on each one of these seven milim, you know, these 20 words. There's Ayin be Ayin, Shame be Shame, Yad be Yad, Regel be Regel. Right now we're going to focus, that's what Rabbi's focus is on Yad be Yad. From hand to hand. Love. Why did the Torah have to add this phrase, Yad B'Yad? And again, we have to go through all the phrases, but that's not relevant to ours, so we're only bothered by Yad B'Yad. And Ravi Law answers, Dover Anitain Hanitan Miyad Liyad. In other words, Yad B'Yad is a reference to money. Money goes from hand to hand. My new mom. So what we're saying is that when the Torah says, Vasisim Lokashazom Lassus Liyachim, it means mom. It doesn't mean malchus. It means mama. And the Torah went out of its way to indicate that it means mama in order to teach us that this is the exception to the rule. The general rule, and that's accepted by the Chachamim, and that's from Yochanan, is loke v'yeno mishal. But here it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be mishal v'yeno loke. Why? Because the Torah says, v'asisat lo miyad liyad. You know, it's interesting that there's an organization here in Israel which is very, very significant called Nefesh B'Nefesh. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea of Nefesh B'Nefesh, if you remember the history, is that during the Intifada, the Jewish people stood up and said, like, for every Nefesh that you destroy, we're going to bring in another Nefesh from Chutz La'aretz. But when you look at the original Nefesh B'Nefesh, it's very fascinating. It's not in a very good context, because we're talking about Edom Zomim, who tried to have a Nidon put to death, and instead we're going to put the Edom Zomim to death. Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Anyway, now we get to the second case, right? We have Chovah V'Chaver. There also the Lord is Mammon and not Malchus. Where do we know that from? Chovah V'Chaver Nami. Women. Also, in the case of Chov V'Chaver, the Torah would have its way to tell you that you paid Mammon. How do we know this? Michtik Siv, in the case of Chavolah, this is at the end of Parshas Emor, it says, Kasher Osa Kenyi Osa Lo, which means that we do to him what he did to someone else. Now again, if you take that literally, it means that we literally cut off his arm, you know, because he cut off someone else's arm. But that's not the way Chazal understood it. The pasuk says shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, and then it says kasher yitei mum bi adam keini nasein bo. And this whole phrase in the pasuk is completely superfluous. So the Gemara says, "Lomeli, why is it necessary? The Torah must be teaching me something." And the answer is yinasein. Emphasize the word yinasein. Yinasein again is something that goes from hand to hand. I give you something. Mind you, what do I give you? And it goes from my hand to your hand, that's mama. So the Torah is telling us that just like he created a mum, you know, he injured his friend, and as a result his friend took a major financial loss in five different ways, keini nasein bo, he's got to pay that money to replace the loss. And my Rebbe used to always say in the name of Reb Chaim that tashlumei chavola are very unique, because the Torah really wants this, when it says keini nasein bo, the Torah wants to. This is not just a regular chiv mom, you know, where I have to pay a compensation. This is not compensation. This is a replacement for that physical body that you lost. I mean, this has to do with the sugya about shavua. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'll just mention in passing. There's a rule called einish bon al karkos and evid hukish lekarka, so that whenever you're paying to replace something, whether it's karka or whether it's an evid, which is a human being, then there's no shvur. So in the case of chavola, according to Reb Chaim's chiddush in the Rambam, that the payment of chavola, the five payments, is to replace the body, so to speak, that was injured. Therefore, it has the din of karka, and therefore, ein nishbon al karkos. In any event, Rav Yochanan my time alone Omer Ke'ula. Now here we get really stuck. What do you mean Rav Yochanan my time alone Omer Ke'ula? You just finished telling me that Rav Yochanan derives it from Kidei Rishaso with the Smikos HaParshios of Arvoy Miakenu, that Torah went out of its way to tell you to get Malkus and therefore you don't get Mammon. So why are you now turning it around and saying my time alone Omer Ke'ula? And apparently the Gemara thinks at this point that Gzeira Shava should outweigh Smichus HaParshios. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that Smichus HaParshios is more important, and it whittles down the application and the scope of Gzeira Shava. So here there's a long discussion in the Rishonim, especially in Ramban. And this has to do with something called mufna. Mufna means that when you have something that's absolutely unnecessary, and you could set up an equation that goes in two directions, that's going to be audit, that's going to be more powerful than Gzeira Shava, and it's going to whittle down the application of Gzeira Shava. But in a case of mufna, then Smichus HaParshios is more powerful than Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara thinks at this point that this Smichus HaParshios Varbon Yakena is called Eino Mufna. And if it's Eino Mufna, it's like a second-rate Smichus HaParshios, and therefore it would not topple over a Gzeiras Shava. But here he has another footnote, and maybe we'll finish up with this. He says the following. Hikshu HaRishon. My kusha sagamara Rav Yochanan Dulo Omer Ke'ula. Hello, Eino Adam Don Gzeir Shava Me'atzma. So maybe Rav Yochanan simply didn't have this Gzeir Shava. So some Rishonim say that we have a sugya in Bechoros, we mentioned it earlier, that everybody accepts this Gzeir Shava. But the Rashba has a different twist on it. The Rashba says the following. The Gemara's question was, my Dulo Omer Rav Yochanan Ke'ula. Eina Kushal Dvarov. The Gemara is not asking a question, raising an objection to Rabbi Yochanan. Because again, maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't have the tradition of this Gzeir Shava of Ula, Tachasta. Ella, Hagmar Batsal of Baral Rabbi Yochanan, Shalodorish Gzeir Shava, Mal Yilmo Mitachas Asher Ina. If Rabbi Yochanan in fact does not have the Gzeir Shava, then why did the Torah in the parish of Knas say Tachas Asher Ina, the Tachas? Is completely superfluous. So we're going to see later on that Abaye is going to derive a different din from Tachas HaShe'ina. So the whole thrust of our sugi, according to the Rashba, is to ask if Rav Yochanan, and that's a fair assumption, did not accept this Gzeir Shava, what did he do with the pasuk of the Tachas HaShe'ina? What halacha was the Torah trying to teach us in the words Tachas Asher Im? But again, this Rashba seems to be totally oblivious to the sugya Bechoros, and maybe if we get a chance, we'll talk about that tomorrow. So let me just borrow your pencil if I can. Thank you so much, and we're going to stop here on Virab Yochanan, and tomorrow we'll pick up on the Gimel Amid Aleph. Okay, Kenegid Lag BaOmer. So we're making progress. Okay then? Everyone should do well.